Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Tony Fleming. This is our 8 a.m. book club call. We do this call every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, and we take this call and we load it our conference call line to a book to the podcast platforms. Yeah, we load it on different podcast platforms, not a podcast, but we load it on podcast platforms like Apple, iTunes, Spotify, you name it. We're probably on about 15 of them. And so and we do that because it's easy access for people to get to it, and they can go back and listen to it, because our goal is to teach and for people to learn, and repetition is key. If you're not hearing this stuff over and over and over, just like you learn a song from hearing it over and over, you're not going to get it. I see people jump on stuff, and they do it one time, take a few notes, and I got it. No, you don't got it. It doesn't happen that way. The way we learn is the way we learned from day one. It's through repetition, hearing stuff over and over and over and over and over, from the womb all the way through, you know, 9, 10 years old of repetition. And then even after that, we kept hearing the same thing through school, through the neighborhood, through, you know, our ministers, through all this stuff. And so we got conditioned and programmed, and only the only way to unlearn and relearn is the same way. So you got to have repetition. You got to go back and listen to things over and over. You have to take notes. You have to unlearn and relearn. It's just all it is. So we put it on those platforms. We also have a replay number that you can call into from this call. Like today is Saturday, and it'll last to Sunday morning. No, I'm sorry, to Monday morning. And that replay number is 712-432-1085. 712-432-1085. And the PIN code is 783357#. 783357#. That's the replay number. So, but we do this every Saturday morning. We got a new book we started on for our book club, and the book is called The Psychology of Money. We do not have a book of the month. We have a book of the moment, meaning that we go a lot of times over the month. The last couple of books we probably hadn't, because we've been reading little short books by Og Mandino, and so they're good reads that you can kind of finish up in 30 days. Some of these books that we've been reading for years, you cannot finish up you can, but people are not finishing in 30 days. So we kind of go, you know, as long as we can, and that still doesn't mean you're going to finish. It's just giving us more time to read and talk about it. So it's The Psychology of Money by Morgan, and I still got to pronounce this right. I got Housel, and I don't know if that's how it's actually pronounced, but it's H-O-U-S-E-L, Morgan Housel. That's where we're starting today, and we got a guest reader on who sounds like she lost her voice, like she was cheering at a high school game last night for her son or something. But are you there?
Good morning, Mr. Fleming. Yes, I'm
all right. We got Miss Beverly Johnson down in Montgomery, Alabama, and she's not the model Beverly Johnson, but she is a model citizen. She's a person that's excited about reading, but her voice is kind of gone. You know, I don't know what happened there. But what we're gonna do? We're gonna work together on this to make sure that we get this information out today. So, but before we do this, we have to do this.
Warren Buffett once said, "The more you learn, the more you earn."
Warren Buffett, one of the wealthiest humans on the planet, is famous for reading more than 5 hours every day. Bill Gates reads one book per week. Mark Cuban, 3 hours a day. Oprah, well, she's just obsessed with books. Notice the common theme here? Successful people never stop learning.
You're trying to get your freedom. You're trying to learn how to read. You're trying to escape.
It's Saturday and it's 8 a.m., folks. It's that time. Time for the 8 a.m. Blog Talk Book Club. Let's go, folks. It's time to stimulate the mind. Time to hear thought-provoking words. When we read, your imagination improves. You become smarter. It reduces the stress. Yes, that's right. It reduces the stress. Let's go, folks.
let's go. No, so what I did was I had Valerie, Beverly, it sounded like, had Beverly send me what she was going to read, or what she's going to read, my text, because her voice is. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a little bit of it, and then I'm going to let Beverly give her insight on, or what her thoughts on what she was going to read, and then we'll kind of go from there back and forth. Now, what I got from you, Beverly, we jumping all the way to chapter 7. Now, I'm going to tell you this. One thing about this book, you can jump back and forth because it emphasizes that this is like every chapter is like a mini book. So it's not like a flow where you go from one chapter to the next and you can jump. You can jump from chapter 4 to chapter 8, or you can go back to chapter 6 to 5, because each chapter is like a little book. Or you can read it, you know, in consecutive order, like some people do. But you have the option to do that because it's like he says, each chapter is like a mini book. So we're going down to chapter 7, and chapter 7 talks about freedom. Controlling your time is the highest dividend money pays. So that kind of goes to what I'm looking at, what you sent me. And you said chapter 7, freedom, first paragraph, last sentence of 83. All right? So first paragraph is the highest form of wealth. I'm assuming that's the one you're talking about, that paragraph?
That's correct.
Okay, and the last sentence says, the ability to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want, is priceless. And this is the highest dividend that money pays. So let me say this again. The ability to do what you want, with who you want, when you want, for as long as you want, is priceless. It is the highest dividend money pays. So what about that sentence that you're excited about, or something that you wanted to talk about?
Because that's what most people want. Everybody wants time freedom. And that's the freedom to do all those things that you just said. When you want, how you want, all of that. That's what we live for. And you can't do that if you're working a 9-to-5 every day.
Now,
that's what the network marketing helps us with. It, even though network marketing is more work than an actual job, because it's your thing that you're doing on your own, and it takes all of this time that you want the time and freedom from, but you're doing it for yourself, and you got to do it for yourself to get started to get where you're trying to go.
It's okay. Yeah, it does. Are you on speakerphone?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay. All right.
I already know that rule.
Yeah, it just sounds kind of muffled. I know it's your voice, too. I know that because you're kind of hoarse, but it just sounds like you're away from... You got an earpiece on?
I do not, no. I actually don't.
So you're just talking on your phone?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. That's good. All right, so... Now, you said, let me say this, you said, and I want to do a little pushback with you because, or we'll talk about that, because you said most people want, no, you said people want to be able, what did you say about that, about the job? You said people don't want to, when I said tell me about that.
People actually want their time freedom. They want to be able to get up and wake up, like the book says, and do what they want to do every day, how they want to, when they want to. And you can't do that with a job. A job holds you down for at least 9-to-5, 8 to 10 to 12 hours, some 16. And you can't do that because you're in a physical place rather than
right.
when you're doing marketing or something of your own where you're doing your own, you got to make up your own time and space. You're still working harder than you would on a 9-to-5, I think, but
you're
not bound. Yeah,
right.
Not bound.
You're gonna spend way more time in your freedom but it's your time. I mean, you're going to spend way more time doing the business. Like, for example, you know, on a job, you might work 8 to 5, 8 hours, 7 hours. In your business, you might go 10, 12 hours a day. But still, it's you doing it, and there's nobody that you're really reporting to. So that's the difference. But I want to push back a little on a lot of folks don't feel that way. What you're saying, I think, is coming from how you feel, or you tell me, or you telling me people just don't want to say that. Because I hear people say, well, you know, I love my job, and I want to do this, you know, forever and whatever. And so are you saying that they're stretching the truth there, or is it just that's how you feel about a job?
Well, actually, the paragraph says people want to become wealthy to make them happier. And to be happier is having time freedom. So, yes, I'm speaking for myself and from my standpoint. I had a job that I loved as well, too. I did hair. I was a cosmetologist for 25 years. I loved
it. How long did you do hair?
25 years.
25 years, okay. Yeah. Was it your salon, or you was working at a salon?
I started working at one and then got my own from home and worked from my home. But
and you feel like being tied down in that salon all day long is just not what you want?
No, actually, that's still like doing your own thing. You set your own hours and all of that, you know. To what I worked, what I wanted to say about that, when you said some people love their job and some people don't. Well, I actually loved doing hair. Well, still love doing hair, and I just can't anymore because of carpal tunnel. But I would stay in a shop from 8 in the morning to 4 in the morning because I was making the money. Yeah, I was making the money. It makes people happy. It made me happy to make people happy.
So, but you said you can't do it anymore because of what?
I'm sorry? Carpal tunnel.
You said you can't do it anymore because of what?
The carpal tunnel. Where your hand.
Oh, carpal tunnel. Okay, your hand.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 So when you got carpal tunnel, you decided, it decided for you that you had to do something different.
That's correct. I did a lot of things with my hands. All of that took a toll. Clicking curves, playing piano, sewing, all of that.
Okay. So you're saying the goal is what the book is also saying, is that the ability to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want, is priceless, and it's the highest dividend money pays, meaning that the reason why you should get money is because of that. And again, I guess one of my points is you'll hear people justifying that they don't need money for that. You know how people say, you know what they say and how they say it. But so you're saying if I got a couple of million or 10 million or 20 million, and, you know, you would be able to operate the way you want to operate, do what you want, go where you want, and do the things you want. And you feel like a lot of people want that.
Well, you're speaking from money-wise. I mean, you can do it money-wise. You can do it. It doesn't have to all be about money, but money definitely makes it easier to do that.
Okay. 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 Now, has this always been your thought, or as you get up in age? You know how some people, as we get older, we realize we had more time behind us than we have in front of us. So are you saying it because of that? Would you be saying the same thing, you know, if you were 30 years back?
I think so, because I've always, from doing hair for that long period of time, I've worked some jobs, too. It gave me more freedom to do the salon, because like I said, I could set my own time and own hours and work when I wanted And when I did want to work, I wanted to be off on Monday because I did all types of, like, the braiding and curling, styling, all of it. I did it all. So I took the day. Monday would be a day that I would take off, which most salons do, to kind of get your shop back together. And then on a certain
that would include Sunday and Monday, because Sunday is just naturally closed anyway, right?
Correct. Unless you wanted to work, you know, unless you wanted to do favors for somebody. Because some people, just say for instance, holiday, and people at the salon want to go home on holidays as well. And everybody's trying to get their hair done before a certain time, before shops close, and shops are closing early, like 12 or 1. I would stay open. That's when you would find me working till the 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, because I wanted to...
You mean like Christmas Eve and the day before Thanksgiving and all that?
Yeah, because I wanted people to, I've been here, I've been there, they're closed. Okay, come on, I got you. And, you know,
so that means you really love what you were doing.
Correct.
Okay. I got you. All right, so now the next paragraph that you said that you were going to read, because I can hear it in your voice, it's kind of rough to do that. Let me make sure I got this. That was top of 84, which is next page. You mean that one sentence where it says having a strong sense of controlling one's life is a more dependable predictor of positive feelings of well-being than any objective conditions of life we have considered. Is that the sentence?
That's correct. And that goes with that last sentence on page 83, which is the most powerful common denominator of happiness was simple, and Campbell summed it up. And that was the summary that you just read. And what I have to say about that is that it actually goes down throughout the rest of that page of 84, where it says more than your salary. So you want to do these, you want to have that more than your salary, more than your big houses, your fancy cars, and your big job, and all that type of stuff. You want to be able to do those things more so than that. It means more to you than having all of that.
You know, that it goes back to the beginning of when I first got in our industry in 95, and even, you know, much before that, that's how it kind of started off, and that's what people talked about. It was controlling your time, getting your time back, being able to go do what you want to do when you want to do it. As time moved on and this world started flipping a little bit in 2000, you know, to where it is now, it started being the bling. It started being, I got to have the Rolex. I got to have the Bentley. I got to have the... And it switched from that to I got to have these things. And it was at one point, and why most people got started was that they just wanted their time. They wanted to be able to do what they want to do, when they want to do it. It wasn't really about, like you said, how much money it was, but it was just the money that you needed to do what you wanted to do to build that residual and have a sense of controlling your own life. As he says here, it's more of a dependable predictor of positive feelings or well-being than most objective conditions. So knowing that you can wake up in the morning and you control where you're going and what you're doing, that's the best predictor or most dependable predictor of you being feeling good about yourself, because you know that you don't have to ask anybody, you ain't got to call anybody, you don't have to do anything, but you know that you can get up and go where you want when you want. Is that what it's saying? Is that what you're getting?
Correct. And the basic word here is control. You have that control over those things.
Mm-hmm.
To do it whenever you want to, or
did you grow up around or see anybody. Well, I'll put it this way. I didn't. Growing up, I didn't see anybody who did that. Now, the most I could see was, you know, I talked about was Mr. Cooper, the guy who owns the store, or, you know, any other person who owns the store. They kind of, you know, they were their own boss, but they still had to be in there. But I saw that. But this thing about, you know, what that sentence about controlling this because you got this set up, you got that set up. I don't know if you saw somebody growing up like that. I didn't. Did you?
I actually did not.
Okay. Okay.
No, I didn't.
So, which makes it harder for all of us.
It actually comes from reading books.
You got it from reading books, right?
Yeah, self-help books. I read a lot of self-help books, and Joyce Myers was one of them. Joyce Myers actually helped me when I was in a funk at one time. About
physically help you or help you from what you heard her?
I'm sorry?
Physically help you or help you by you listening to her?
It physically helped me what I read. It wasn't actually listening. It was something that I read in one of her books. And
okay.
It was, if you don't have control over things in your home, as simple as dishes in your sink and dirty clothes, then what control do you have if you can't control simple things in your home?
Wow.
And, you know, I was in a funk one day, and I was just, you know, and that's just not me. Anybody that knows me knows I'm like the very neat, tidy, OCD type person. I had a rug that had fringes in it, and I actually had a brush for the fringes on the rug. And I worked 12 hours, and I came home and kept them fringes straight in that rug. So it
was
what just
kind of, what kind of, you said cringes?
Fringes, the little fringes on the end of a rug on the floor.
Uh-huh.
I had a brush for them because I like for them to be neat and straight. That's how bad OCD I had. And I was working 12 hours.
By you, let me make sure I get this right. By you brushing it, it flattens out the fringes?
And straightens it, yeah. You know how they get out crooked and everything.
Right.
They had to be
okay.
Neat and straight for me.
Right.
And that's how neat of a person I am. And I worked a 12-hour shift, swing shift, that I thought was going to change that, but it didn't. And I would come home from 12 hours, and if things weren't like I wanted them to be or how I left them, I had to get them back that way actually before settling down,
mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Same thing probably with your car also, right?
My car and everything else. But at that point in time, I was saying I was in a funk mode, and I didn't do it was like for a couple of days. Like the dishes were just piling up in the sink. The kids are in college, so it was all but one. So I didn't wash the dishes for like 2 days. And I was like, and I was the type of person, I washed a load. It was enough of us in the house to wash a load of clothes every day. So I didn't wash clothes for 2 days. I was just in a mood. And I was listening to her, and she was saying in one of her television shows, she brought that up, and then when I bought the book that she was talking about, I can't remember, don't ask, but we had a house fire, lost all the books that I had.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Oh, don't say that. That sounds so painful. I swear I'll run in the house and grab. But go ahead.
I
man,
promised
I
you
hate
was that. Running and grabbing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to get books because I was trying to get stuff that I needed.
Right.
But, yeah, and then when I read it, you know, it's something different about you. Hearing and seeing, actually seeing it in a book is like two different things. Like you can listen to audiobooks, which helps you if you're busy and you're walking around or you're driving in your car or whatever, you can't actually read the book. But it's, for me, it's better when you can actually put your hands on the pages. And, like, I've written all of this book.
Now, are you saying that just because you know I feel good when you say that? Is that really? Because I've got my hands
no
in the
thing.
Air.
No, I'm
like,
I can
like
somebody
else heard me.
I can
really
send you a picture of all the scribbles and scrambles and notes that I've written actually in the book. And and I thought about it when I was doing it. I was in college, and, you know, they didn't want you to write in the books if you were going to
sell it.
Try to sell it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I never sold mine because it was, I had to actually, I had notes in my book on, like, where I needed it to be. It was better than writing on paper for me, because it's right there for me to see right next to what I need. And when we had to take open book tests, oh, I always got A.
Wow. You know, on another note, though, they're getting over now in college because they're making you get, they changing the books each year almost. Because you know how we used to sell our books because somebody else, so now they making sure there's a new book almost every year so student can't even buy the old book.
Yeah,
I said, that's getting over. But you made a point about you found out a lot of things from reading books. And that's because I said, did you know anybody like that? You said, no, I didn't. And even some of the stuff you learned came from books. That's me 100%. I talk about when I start reading and start thinking, start, you know, hearing about how wealthy people lived and how they talked about it. It was just, first of all, it was intriguing, and it was something I couldn't wait to get home from work, like at AT&T, to start reading, and, you know, because it was just like a world I didn't know of, you know, and I still believe 90% of people don't know of that world. They say they do, but if you're not reading and getting that kind of information from other, you can see stuff on YouTube now that you couldn't see before, so, I mean, I'm sure you can get a little bit more visuals now than you did before, but I was just shocked that I'm like, we're on this planet and we're in a whole nother world over here because the way we're operating is nothing like the way they're operating. You know, the way we're thinking is nothing like the way they're thinking. And speaking of George Myers, you know, I used to listen to her all the time. I never read her books, but I'm talking about from 93 to probably 98, 99. You know, she used to be on television all the time. It was her and Les Creflo, and it was a lot of them used
Paula
to be on there.
Yeah.
Right.
Paula White.
Yeah, Paula White. TV, yeah, I used to listen to all of them. I got a little challenge with her, though. But, you know, George, I saw her come
from.
I saw George Myers come from looking like Grandma to, I mean, I still had some old videotapes of her looking like Madea for real. And then she just came up strong, you know what I'm saying? So she was going around the country speaking, and she got very popular and started having a lot of success. And she just, I mean, she might even have some surgery, you know what I'm saying? She did a lot of stuff to change the way she looked. Because if you go back, I don't know if you were following her in 93, man, she looked like an old grandma compared to, I'm serious. You remember that?
Yeah, she looks different now.
Oh, yeah, totally different. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different. All right, so so it sounds like you're saying, look, I want to control my life. I want enough money to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Even if it's not a lot, it's just you want to be able to wake up in the morning and know that what you decide to do is what you decide to do.
And it doesn't have to be a lot. Most people, well, some people think it does, but it doesn't. It's just the fact of being, when I was doing that, doing my own thing and working a job, I hated working a job. I hated clocking in on anybody's clock. You know, I'm the type of person, I'm going to admit the truth. I would get there like 2 or 3 minutes. I'm not an on-time person.
Mm-hmm.
Never have been.
Okay.
And I think from doing that, I was doing the hair in the shop, I guess because that was something that I really wanted to do and liked doing or loved doing. But on the job, it was like when I would get there I would get there on time majority of the time. But most of the time, a lot of the times I was late. And it wasn't late 5 minutes. You know, you in that window, that time frame where you can still say I was here at 8. They give you
right.
5 minutes or 7 minutes or something
right.
like that, yeah. But that was still late, even though I was still on time.
Right.
And then I'm the type of person that once I get there and start doing the job, I do my very best, and I was always, like, at the top of whatever job I was doing, somewhere between first and fifth. And I would never leave on time. So I didn't get there on time, but I didn't leave on time either. It's not that I was getting overtime. It was just the fact that things had to be finished or whatever, or, like, I wanted to greet the next person coming in if it was a shift switch to let them know, you know, this is what happened, this is what's going on, and whatever. And I was always the last one to walk out the door. And still to this day, like my coworker as of yesterday, she said, Beverly, she said, it's 5 o'clock. I said, you can go ahead. I just want to make sure I got this, that, and whatever. And I want to sit my desk up. I want stuff to be, because I'm not the person to shut down. I don't like traffic for one either. So I will do whatever and stay and hang around so that I don't have to drive in traffic, the 5 o'clock rush hour traffic.
Right.
Because
I got you, because I do that for years when it came to meetings. I was to be the first one there. Not you wasn't the first one there, but at the end, I always was the last one there. I made sure everybody was gone, and then I went through everything in the room to make sure it was nice and whatever, cleaned up a little bit, because my name was on that doggone hotel request form, so they, you know, I didn't want anything. People were like, well, why are you? You know, you should be letting somebody else do this. I know most people wouldn't. So I did it. I made sure that at the end that, you know, then it got to the point where people started hanging around so long that I had to leave. But some people would get out of there, and so I would make sure the, you know, room was pretty straight. And, you know, I didn't have a problem being the first one and the last one to leave. And I didn't have a problem with nobody saying anything about it because I wanted that. I didn't want my name tied to something where, you know, something happened here and he didn't come through or he didn't take care with the bill or what, you know, what happened. So, but yeah, I got you. I understand.